Happy Thursday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Happy NFL kickoff day. The first game of the National Football League's 2024 season is today. It will feature the Kansas City Chiefs, defending champions, and the Baltimore Ravens, are the Pittsburgh Steelers' arch rival from the AFC North, a team that Steelers fans have grown to hate. And I use the word hate in a literal sense. The game kicks off at 5 p.m. Pacific time, which will be right in the middle of my lunch. I usually don't like to be distracted during work with such things. And in fact, if it was a Steeler game, I would either not watch it and then catch the replay, which is probably very not likely that I would do that, or I would take the time off, or I wouldn't work. I can't work during the Steeler games. Now, there's been games during the season where they may, the importance of them may be, you know, and I would have it on during work, like maybe the first, you know, couple of hours of it or something like that. Or I felt that, you know, I can have a Steeler game on and, you know, not the most crucial of games. It may be games that the Steelers should do well in and should, you know, handle their business to where I shouldn't have to be sweating over it, which is never the case. Because the Steelers always seem to play to the level of their opponent. And every game is close, it seems, no matter what. Even if Pittsburgh was to go up 21-0, it ain't over. They'll give it back. They always give it back. So, but today we'll see how it goes. Also today, since I don't have YouTube TV anymore, I'll be relying on over-the-air television to get this game. Or it'll be on Peacock. I do pay for Peacock, and I do pay for Paramount Plus. Those are the CBS and NBC affiliates, or CBS and NBC feeds, or whatever, you know, conglomerate, whatever you want to call it. The only one I don't have is ABC. And ABC, I have to pick up over the air with an antenna. And I bought an antenna. I bought, you know, a cheap one a long time ago from the 99 cent store. You know, it did what it was supposed to do. But it wasn't picking up Channel 7. So I went ahead and I spent some money and I got a little better one for like, well, I didn't spend the money. It's been like $13 or so. You got one that had an amplifier on it and blah, blah, blah. And it won't pick up Channel 7. So I said, all right, go ahead. Went ahead and found one that was like $56 or whatever. You know, I'm just spending the money. And I'll say, it timed out already, just like it did yesterday. It did a quick timeout and I got the screen turned down. So we'll see if this can even work in the summertime anymore. My God. Anyway. So I spent $56 and I got like a quote unquote, a better upgraded digital antenna. You know, they say it's supposed to be better, but I just might be spending more money to make myself feel better. You know, and the people manufacturing probably know it's the same. Just like I think 99 cent store Windex, you know, 99 cent store glass cleaner does the same job as that super expensive 409 stuff that you can buy for like $6.99 a bottle. I think I use that 99 cent glass cleaner to do the same stuff that Mr. Clean and Top Job and 409 and Fantastic and all that really expensive spray cleaner does. I think they're the same. You just feel better by spending more money. And there's value in that. There's value in spending more money and feeling better about it, even though there's really no difference between the two products. It makes you feel better, and you pay for that. We pay for a lot of entertainment. We pay for a lot of things just for our feelings and how we feel about it and how we want to feel. So why not products? Why not pay overpay for products just to give yourself a sense of confidence? Anyway, so I still got it sitting in the box. Got overworked yesterday. I was kind of tired, so I didn't bust it out. But anyway, NFL season. It looked like the Steeler game Sunday. It's going to be on Fox TV. I'm going to have to use the over-the-air antenna. Get channel 11 here in L.A. Because it looks like I got an NFL Sunday ticket. Because, thank the Lord in the universe, I'm still getting it at a student discount. Paid $209 for an NFL Sunday ticket. It's a $400 package. And the reason I had to pay $200 instead of $100 is because I don't have a subscription to YouTube TV, which is $72 a month. Because I canceled YouTube TV, and I seem to be getting on without it. I seem to be getting on without YouTube TV. And that's probably because my so-called affair, love, addiction, or love entanglement, or whatever you want to call it, love relationship with live TV and CNN has ended. I just got to the point where I just wasn't watching CNN no more. It just didn't do anything for me. I didn't like where they were coming from, the rhetoric. And then I would end up watching Fox more for whatever reason. I just would end up watching Fox more and forget MSNBC. No. That's just flat out political. You know, we're going that way. No doubt. Not even trying to hide it. Not that Fox is trying to hide it, but there's something about Fox. it's probably something I have against the left and liberals. Let's just put it that way. But anyway, once I get over that thing, I was able to cancel YouTube TV and just get my news from different sources, YouTube, News Channel, Firestick, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so now I'm working out a digital antenna and NFL Sunday ticket with Amazon. Show some games. I think Netflix has an NFL game this season. Who else? I forget, NFL Prime Ticket, I got that. And I got NFL Plus too, which is not NFL Prime Ticket. NFL Plus is something different, and it's not an NFL Sunday Ticket. It's cheaper, and I got it so that I can watch the preseason games. It's only like $50 for the whole season. And it also has replays. I can get the coaches all 22 and watch replays of all the games. But the app is terrible. The app is terrible on the TV. Sometimes I just mirror my phone to the TV and watch it that way instead of using the app on the phone. I mean, app on the TV. Might be because I got too much on that Fire Stick. I might need to take some stuff off that Fire Stick, free up some memory, free up some space. I always wonder why they don't make a more powerful Fire Stick, a more powerful Amazon TV. You know, more space, more processing power, more whatever. I'd pay for it. But, you know, because my old Fire Stick, it really got terrible. I even cleaned it out, reset it back to factory, reloaded apps, and it just didn't do what it was supposed to do. And I'm not even talking about the fact that it didn't have a volume control on it. Now, volume control and TV control is crucial. That way you don't have to have two remotes. And it didn't have that on it. Not only that, and it just didn't function correctly. It would hang and do all kinds of stuff. So, So I got the next generation of Fire Stick. This seems to be working good. So I got to deal with all that. But anyway, that's my NFL situation. Should I talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers now? Should I talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think I shall. All right, so we're starting the season off. We got a new offensive coordinator. I really have to start there. We got a new offensive coordinator. We blamed a lot of our problems on the offense last year, which may be rightfully so. And we wanted to blame it on Matt Canada, who was our offensive coordinator that Mike Tomlin picked, who just didn't seem to be able to get things going for whatever reason. And then by the time, and then it just got to a point where people just dumping on him so much that that became the narrative and it was hard to see anything else. We also got rid of our number one pick from a couple years ago, Kenny Pickett. We drafted him to be heir apparent quarterback, our starting quarterback for the next 20 years. He failed miserably. And a lot of people say it might be because of Matt Canada. It might be because of that. This or that. We had Mitchell Trubisky from Chicago, who was an established starter, had one good year. He was like the second pick of the draft when he came out, so he was highly talented. But he was a bust too. He was such a bust, he got benched and thrown out of town. Tom, he played a game that was so bad that I'm sitting there watching it. And when he got yanked, I was like, whoop, that's it for Trubisky. We'll never see him play in a Steeler uniform again. And sure enough, he was gone. Mason Rudolph came in, somebody who I championed for a long time, who I thought got mistreated. Of course, he didn't play well when he had the opportunity to. It could have been the offensive line, it could have been a scheme or whatever. But I've always thought Mason Rudolph looks like a stereotypical kind of quarterback that I like, tall, staying in the pocket. He got a chance, made the team look really good for three games, got us into the playoffs. And think about Mason Rudolph, it still stands out in my mind, is to see a Steeler quarterback stand in the pocket, stand tall in the pocket, with all everything going on around him, stand there and deliver a throw, not take off and run, which I'm kind of skipping forward, is something that they say Russell Wilson and Justin Fields do. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are the two new quarterbacks that the Pittsburgh Steelers picked up in the offseason. They both have played before. They both have a reputation or a career or a resume. Russell Wilson, been to a Super Bowl champion. He's proven he's possible all pro. I mean, Hall of Fame member towards the end of his career. Had a bad couple seasons in Denver, where Denver traded everything and they mama to get him. He got there and he got paid. Russell Wilson got paid. He got paid so much that he's still getting like $40 million from that team. He don't even play with them anymore. And with guaranteed money, I think he's still getting like $40 million or $89 million from Denver. And we're only paying him like $1 million. We're only paying like $1 million for this season. And Denver still got to pay him $89 or $40 whatever millions of dollars. At least $40. And we get him. And of course, next year, same way with Justin Fields. We got Justin Fields on a minimum deal from Chicago. Chicago ran him out of town. And Chicago traded him. And Chicago went and got the number one pick, Caleb Williams from USC. So they're really high on that. You know, he's supposed to be like this next Superman quarterback. So they're really high on him. And Denver basically paid to get rid of Russell Wilson. And people saying, well, if they're doing that, Pittsburgh, what you think you get? So we'll see how that's going to work out. But Mason Rudolph came in the last three games of last season and did really good. I really did like Mason Rudolph. I really did like Mason Rudolph. The only thing I didn't like about Mason Rudolph was his interview skills. Just not enough bravado, you know, not making eye contact. Just really so soft-spoken and shy and irritating. You just want to smack him in his face and say, speak up, you know, be. But I've heard, and I've heard a commentator or something make a comment that Mason Rudolph in the huddle has command. you know, in the huddle, he does what he's supposed to do as a quarterback, the leader on the team. You know, when it comes down to that, he does good. Maybe he's just soft-spoken when it comes to interviews. But either way, I still would like to see a personality. You want to see a personality leader on your at your quarterback. You know, so when you turn on the TV, you see a leader for bravado and, you know, going someplace and motivating and, you know, something that's guiding or inspirational. And I don't know if Russell Wilson can be that person. They say Cam Hayward, our longtime defensive starter, is supposed to be that person. But he seems kind of goofy sometimes and happy. You know, it's not like a Tom Brady. You just ain't gonna mess with Mr. Brady. You just ain't gonna mess with Brady and Belichick. And it's, I'm gonna cut again to another part. If the Steelers continue to make the mistakes that they've been making, that I've seen them make for the last so years, after changing offensive coordinators, after changing quarterbacks, after so many changes, if they still continue to make the same mistakes, and I think they're disciplinary mistakes, fundamental mistakes, core fundamental mistakes, I think that goes to Tomlin. I think you're going to have to put that on Tomlin. Now, it's one thing if they come out, you know, they just don't play good or this or that, you know, where it's just like it just didn't work. But if it's, you see a consistency in the behaviors and the tendencies of the team that's been going on all these years, you know, it's almost like a lack of discipline. It's like, I think it's a lack of fear of the coach, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that Pittsburgh does, all the mistakes, you know, and tactics and fundamentals that you don't see a Bill Belichick or a Tom Brady team do, or a Kansas City team do. You just don't see these teams do that. And I don't think it has anything to do with skill or talent. That's just discipline and mental thing. You know, you should be able to just line up and know where you're supposed to line up and not jump off sides and remember the plays and have a scheme that's sophisticated and complicated enough to fool defenses, where defenses ain't out there calling out your play when you come up to the line of scrimmage. Now, we got a real offensive coordinator who should be able to at least get away from that. And even though Arthur Smith is known for, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type football, strong running game, you know, not too much on the passing game, you know, not stretching it downfield. Well, you probably stretch it downfield, but, you know, more of a Pittsburgh Steeler type. 3 yards in a cloud of dust, just bang them and, you know, run. And, you know, the running backs and hard hitting and hit them harder. And like Tomlin's solution to fix a situation last year was to practice harder. I'm like, dude, this is the 2020s. It's sophistication. It's not about hitting harder. You ain't going to never be able to hit harder than the next team. It's parity. It's too much talent. It's too evenly spread. Pittsburgh Steelers football probably started with me and Joe Green. When me and Joe Green came in, they had never seen a specimen like him before. He was this big, agile, black, and just a monster. They had never seen anything like that before. And Pittsburgh went out and drafted a bunch of them, and they dominated. Now everybody got me and Joe Greens. In fact, when me and Joe Green came in as a defensive tackle, whatever, he made him, quote unquote, the biggest man on the team. Now, we got running backs bigger than he was. So, I mean, the whole game has changed. The talent pool has been upgraded massively. So you're not going to run over teams every week like you did in the past. You got to be more sophisticated. You got to outthink them. You got to at least distract them so that they don't at least know all your plays. And I'm already starting on Tomlin. I'm already starting on the head coach. I love Tomlin. I love hearing him talk. Well, at least I used to. Now it's starting to get old, his little cliches and things to say. I love the style in which he talks, though. That'll never go away. The straightness, the clarity in which he talks. Well, he talks in clarity, but he'll also, in using clarity, he'll not answer a question still. He'll be very clear and using his words and execution that he's not answering that question without saying it. You know, he's a straight talker. He has a lot of cliches. you know, and it's just good to hear him talk. But that's getting old. You know, that's starting to get old. Where I'm starting to, that style is starting to, okay, Tom, we get it. You know, you're a good speaker. You're a preacher even. Probably a preacher. It's almost like he's literally a preacher. And my team is like super religious, Christian, heavily Christian religious team. My God, that don't bother me. I don't mind if them boys have something to believe in, them young kids. That don't bother me at all. In fact, they said they had after one of the preseason games, they had a prayer circle after the game. It was like the biggest in NFL history. Pittsburgh, the other team. It was like, we ain't never seen this many people in the prayer circle ever in the history of football. So that's where, you know, and Tomlin wears his cross and they talk about God and this and that. And, you know, whatever. I do believe that kind of religious belief and that faith does make for a good football player. I do. I really do. I think that grit, that determination, that base, deeply foundational, deep inherent belief in fear of God, belief in fear of God that you're taught, you know, from when you first come out of the womb, have that instilled in you, and you use that as something, especially for these young boys coming out, young, rich, you know, huge monsters who've been spoiled and gotten everything they wanted all their life because of their superiority in sports athleticism. You know, they're just spoiled. They're just not used to this, not used to that. Used to having things bend for them. And, you know, maybe rightfully so. Some of these boys can actually carry a community just based on their earning potential and just who they are, just being, you know, a player. They could probably support a whole community and be an inspiration for other people and just, you know, well worth it to protect them. That's what I'm saying. It's well worth it to protect them. Like where they say, even the gang members sometimes say, you know, leave him alone. You know, he ain't in this game. You know, dope dealers or whatever, dope men or whatever. You're like, leave him alone. He ain't in this game. He a football player. You know, that's so-and-so. You know, he all right. Don't get him caught up in this. So, you know, and so for them to have that belief in God or whatever, even if they say something like, they like use the F word, like F this, F that, F that, and thank God, F that. you're like F him, F that, shit, damn, whatever, and thank God in the same sentence, in the same breath. You know, I'm just like, I don't care. Do what you got to do to keep your ass out of jail and on the field. Have your belief, your fear. You know, have something to pray to. I got no problem with that. But anyhow, it's that. And so we'll see, you know, how the Pittsburgh Steelers organization goes. How they, the traditional Pittsburgh Steelers ideology and mentality of, you know, God, faith, football, and kill, 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 smash them, hit them harder, run them over. Versus something that I see like in Kansas City, that's sophisticated, more cerebral, you know, just a smarter game. You know, less physical, more cerebral game. So we'll see. And I'm concerned if I start seeing the same stuff from last year, and we did see it in the preseason, people just offside and fumbling the snap and stuff like that, the fundamentals. Love the Patriots. Patriots used to beat us every year, but goddamn, that team, they played football like I think it should have been played. Belichick and Brady, my God, it was just beautiful to watch. And that thing was just do your job. Just do your job. And they came out, probably maybe one of the greatest dynasties in sports, definitely in the NFL. Tom Brady got more championships on different teams and everything. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will win a Super Bowl. They're just telling Belichick, I can do it without you, buddy. Took Gronk down there to Tampa Bay, and they won another Super Bowl without Belichick. I mean, so, you know, it's definitely a combination of them two. You know, you got to give them both credit. And I don't want to put one down over the other, but because I respect them. And in fact, when I went to, when New England played, I think I seen them play twice. I think the opening game, I think Pittsburgh played New England. Might have been the first game of the season. I flew to New England and saw the game. I'm in the Foxborough. I've been to Patriot Stadium, Gillette Stadium, whatever. I was there. I've seen it. You know, I drove in there and hung out with them Patriots fans. Sophisticated ass snobs they were. They know. They just know. They just not even, they wasn't even, well, of course, to the section I was sitting in. You know, a little bit of highfalutin people. But they just know. It's just the air. Like, we're not worried about it. And I think they had just won the Super Bowl. And they got all these Super Bowls hanging around. They just was like, not even. It was, I was like a fly on their butt. It was like, everything seems like a fly on their butt. They just so, you know, and it was just in the humor and the way they was, you know, jabbing me, you know, and, you know, getting back at me. It was so sophisticatedly beautiful. I just smiled and laughed. It was just so highbrow, you know. It was good. And that's not the Steeler mentality. But I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. I might not like their mentality. I may not like their religious belief. I love the colors. I love them damn colors. I love them colors. Just seeing them colors, oh, it just turns me on. Even if I see, like, Spirit Airlines has similar colors. I just love seeing that black and yellow. Oh, oh, it's so beautiful. And just, you know, the history, 52 years now, being a Steeler fan, 52, 53 years, being a Steeler fan. It goes back. I love them. And our receivers, our wide receivers, there was talk that we was going to get Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is like a really super duper high level receiver. Somebody that the Pittsburgh Steelers really don't usually have on our team. We don't have those highfalutin players, you know, superstars. You pay somebody. We breed them and we get them young and we develop them. Then when they become those kind of players, we ship them off and send them to, they get traded to another team. We're not like one of those go out and, you know, spend $80 on a Stephon Diggs or, you know, a Tyreek Hill. You know, put a lot of money in a player and have him come in and blah, blah, blah. That's not, you know, that's not Steeler football. And I agree with that. I agree with that. In fact, Brandon Ayuk might have been a little bit too highbrow for the Steelers anyway, no matter how great of a talent he was. And we may need a second wide receiver with George Pickens because now, with, you know, nobody else is a threat for George Pickens, who is a monster. He's a freak of nature. If he keeps his head on straight and gets the right opportunities, he will be like another Randy Moss or something like that. Or another Ironman. What's the dude's name? The dude for Detroit, Calvin Thomas. I never got up on him. Megatron or whatever. Whatever he was, but every time I look up, he's getting accolades. Like, he's a really great receiver, but I never was able to follow him. I never, you know, got caught up on him. But he's supposed to be another great, tall, superstar receiver anyway. So we'll see if, you know, if the, in the Arthur Smith offense is supposed to be about tight ends. Again, tight ends running the ball, you know, 3 yards of cloud of dust, none of that, you know, throwing downfield across the middle, like that high, fast action Kansas City style football that I think is the most beautiful thing in the world. You know, Andy Reid, Mahomes, Kelsey type thing they got going on down there. It's just beautiful to watch. They just come out, it's just beautiful to watch. San Francisco too, sophisticated offenses, discipline, people smart. And one thing that, I'm gonna do a really long sidetrack here. But there are two states in the United States that require religious teachings or something like that in the classroom. It was like Louisiana and Mississippi. And those two states are like, all right, like last, 47th and 44th or something in education in the United States. So it almost fits that, you know, faith, basically faith means belief in something for which there's no evidence. So faith is definitely not scientific. You know, faith, you go in your gut, but faith gets in you. And faith can make you do magical stuff. I don't know if math can. I know faith will have you climbing a mountain and jumping over rivers. Belief and faith will make you more powerful, more stronger, and you believe in this. This is, you know, the core of our being. And that does sit well with Pittsburgh Steelers type football. Run them over, smash them. You know, we're bigger, stronger than them, bigger, stronger than them. You know, math and necessarily the scientific method ain't gonna motivate you to that degree. So it kind of fits with the education and, you know, but I listened to Russell Wilson talk and he talks more sophisticated. Najee Harris too. Najee Harris comes from San Francisco. So he came out of San Francisco, Oakland area, you know, where they may or may not be all that religious, you know, more woke, more sophisticated in their thinking and ideologies. I used to hear him talk when he was, you know, a rookie. I was like, oh boy, he kind of highbrow for a Steeler. Russell Wilson too, always saying the right thing, knowing how to say it, how to put it, very congenial, just a really good speaker. A command of the podium, that whole thing. It just don't seem like Steelers, too sophisticated to be Steelers football, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. And Justin Fields, just a young talent who doesn't seem to be able to catch on to the fundamentals of what an NFL quarterback is supposed to be. NFL quarterback is supposed to be a point guard, not a shooting guard. He's supposed to be a distributor. You know, get the team going, get the a leader, get everybody involved. Justin Fields goes back maybe 7 times out of 10, he thinking about running. Anything happened, he's used to getting out of there. He has so much athleticism, he'd just get out of there and just take off running. And maybe, you know, get the yards needed. Maybe, you know, break one 20, 30 yards, spectacular play. But that takes everybody, that takes the rest of the team out of the game. You know, if a point guard, shooting guard comes down and they stand around watching Kobe score all the points, they just kind of slowly, you know, the juices and their adrenaline is slowly taken out of the game. And sometimes it's hard to kick it back in when it's time to. And especially over, it's like over a season, over a bunch of games, they get so used to watching a quarterback or Kobe or somebody do all their heroics, when it's time for them to step up, they're like, not prepared, and they're not ready. So that I kind of worry about with Justin Fields, just being young. They talk about his accuracy, his decision making. And that's why he's on the bench behind Russell Wilson, the more seasoned quarterback, who also has been known to run out of the pocket too early, run himself into trouble like Kenny Pickett used to. Kenny Pickett used to just turn around and go back there, and there's a pocket there before the pocket even just a little bit collapsed. He turn around and run right into a sack or just, you know, in the play. The thing I love about Mason Rudolph, again, I'll say it again because it was just so beautiful to see him stand there in that pocket, him stand there and deliver the ball. It was just good to see a strong, stoic or whatever quarterback just stand there and get it done because he was tall. Russell Wilson ain't that tall. He may or may not be able to see over the defensive linemen, so he may need to scramble and run around a little bit to get a view downfield. But we'll see. Notice I haven't talked about the running backs. The running backs are solid. I haven't talked about the defense. The defense is solid. Well, defense is fairly solid. We probably got some concerns about our secondary, but we got a bunch of secondary players back there that should be okay. We got a couple of really good ones. Minkah Fitzpatrick and Joey Porter, at least. We got Cam Sutton, who's suspended, but he'll be coming back. But you know, he just got people back there helping out the young kids. We got a very strong pass rush, defensive line, and edge rushers, linebackers. We got Patrick Queen, a linebacker. So the defense is Tomlin. Tomlin's a defensive player. Tomlin's a defensive coach. So the defense, I don't even worry about it. I just rely on the defense. I mean, not rely, but I rest assured the defense is going to be ready. It's the offense. And when I say about the offense has to be ready, what happens to the defense is, if the offense gets the ball and they're three and out the whole game and the defense is on the field so much, towards the end of the game, they're tired. I've seen T.J. Watt come off the field just huffing and puffing. My God. I've seen T.J. Watt, the ex-defensive player of the year, probably should have been defensive player of the year last year, come off the field just like with his head thrown back and his chest out. Just breathing so hard. Like he left everything out there. And they come here, sit down. Defense, offense will get on the field. Three and out. Defense right back on the field again. That takes a toll. And that's how the offense needs to have some consistency to where they hold the ball, give the defense, let the defense get some rest, for crying out loud. All that ties together. All that ties together. And I made a quick leap in my head, but all that ties back to Tomlin. And I was thinking when I thought that I've probably been out for Tomlin's job for a while now. I think something deeply fundamental needs to change. I said years ago, something deeply fundamental has to change. It may be come from the top, maybe has to be general managers, may have to be owners, whatever. But something deeply fundamental. The Steelers need to come into the 21st century as far as football goes. And they're not. They're definitely in the 20th century, the 70s. They're still trying to play that kind of football that won them championships. Even when Big Ben won a Super Bowl, big, tough quarterback. You know, they can stand there, throw people off of them. Can't do that so much anymore. Especially about rule changes, because if you're in the grass, they'll call you down. There's a lot of stuff that Ben was able to have people hanging all on him and still get the job done because he was so big. They'll call him down now. And let alone the talent has even improved since Ben's 20 years, you know, have gone by since he's been there, you know, been retired for a couple years now. Even the talent now is so much better. Edge rushers, people coming after them. These are like freaks of nature. They're like monsters, sophisticated monsters who just do what they do so well. That it's, you know, the talent is just grown to something magnificent. And not that the quarterbacks haven't, because the quarterbacks have evolved in different ways too, like Justin Fields. You got quarterbacks who can run and throw now. Quarterbacks who, Lamar Jackson, fastest man on the team. Best athlete on the team. You know, it's just fun to watch. But with Lamar Jackson, I don't think he has what it takes to take a team to a Super Bowl. I don't think he has that leadership skill, the communication skills, that rapport to be a leader. Because every Super Bowl team, there's going to be a hill that they're going to have to fight to get over. It's going to be hills that they don't get over. It's going to be after the battles they're going to have to regroup from. And I don't see Lamar Jackson being that type of leader. I don't even think he's articulate enough to be that leader. The speaking skills, communication skills, to take over a team and say, look, damn it, you know, I just don't. You know, it's where he comes from. It's who he is. You know, even the way he wears his hair. My God. I mean, images, everything, people. I didn't want to believe it for a long time. I used to think, hey, I should be able to wear these raggedy clothes, this or that, and still get the same respect. But you don't. You should be able to, but you don't. Appearance is everything. Your rapport, your appeal. You know how people look at you, what they think of you. It all translates into how they follow you or if they're going to believe in you or not. And I don't think Lamar Jackson has it. And I'm not sure if we have that on our football team either. And Tomlin, I think, could be that, but he's not a player. You need a player on the field that can walk up to a player and smack him in their face or catch him on, you know, off work or whatever, you know, get up in him. You need that peer pressure, that leader, you know, that ain't afraid to go up to somebody's locker where the coach probably shouldn't do that. And also, I think Tomlin is a player's coach. Everybody likes him. You know, I think he's fair and probably predictable to a point. And, you know, I don't think players fear him like they would fear Belichick or a Lombardi. And I believe fear plays a lot into this. Maybe, you know, people say it's the 21st century. You know, it shouldn't be that way. But you're talking about boys. We're still talking about young boys, barely 21 years old. Again, monster freaks of nature, spoiled to death. I mean, these dudes are huge too, big giant. The mentality is they have to play the game of football. You know, to destroy and kill and to smash and to put their bodies through what it does and to hit and to be hit. Violence, the violence of football. These are specimens, people. These are specimens. And they're young. And they're not all mentally stable. And I don't mean that they're like, have, you know, problems mentally. They're just young and volatile. They're volatile, that's what I want to say. They're volatile. But anyway, that's what I got to say about my Steelers. Tight end, we're good. Offensive line. Oh my God, how can I not talk about offensive line? Offensive line might be the problem. The offensive line could be the problem for the last five, six years. It could literally be just the offensive line because the quarterback won't have enough time to do anything back there. Running game's not going to work. Even if they do know the plays, the offensive line has shown that they haven't been getting it done over the last few years. And so we're definitely going to look at that. We drafted a tackle and we drafted a center, but starting rookies is tough. Starting a rookie is always tough. Their first year in the league, it's been done before. It looks like we're going to do it again. And when the tackle we drafted got hurt, so now we're moving people around. And I'm watching my podcast, and they're telling me, you know, I'm hearing, you know, the critique of offensive linemen, and some of them are just consistent in saying that this one isn't that good, this one isn't that good. And you start to pick up Spirit Airlines. And you start to pick up, you know, what their overall consensus is about the quality or the technique and the, you know, viability of certain players at their position is. And it gets to be to the point where you start to understand that a good offensive line. Hey,
it's a hot one.
It is. It's going to continue to be hot, too, rest of the week. And I've been seeing her for years. Like, she got a hot one on, but she wearing like a hoodie and stuff. Anyway, the offensive line, and Dan Moore, and who else? I can't think of McCormick. I can't think of anybody else. Roderick Jones. Who else is on that offensive line? I can't think of them now, but I know their names because I've been watching the podcast for the whole offseason. I just can't call them out now. But we'll see. Come Sunday, 10 o'clock. Can't wait. Well, I can't wait. It's Thursday now. You know, I want to enjoy this time. Anticipation. Watch the first game. Tonight, I'll probably have it on. Let's just face it. I'll have it on TV. Can't watch it on my computer. I don't think, might be a way that I can, but I don't think there is. But we'll see. We'll see, maybe an NFL app or something. But if it's on local TV, it's usually not on the apps or anything. So I'll hook my antenna up I think I was getting channel 11. Okay. So, we'll see. We'll see. All hail the Pittsburgh Steelers. There should be no other. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. Getting ready for another NFL season. I love the NFL also. Getting ready to do it one more again. Getting ready to do it one more again. Swinging on
y'all.
Two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this, or in the universe, that ever was, is, and will be. Totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.